Hello, one and all. Welcome to a new episode of Bowlers in Pajamas. And today we are going to talk about the Europa League final between Villarreal and Manchester United. So here we have Advait, Aditya and Lokesh along with me. So let's go into it. So guys, so Lokesh, you tell me, I mean, Manchester United lost being the favorite. I mean, 1-1, the match went into extra time and to penalties. All the outfield players scored and the keeper had to miss it. And don't you think it's such a drama? I mean, that's the end of a mega event. I mean, no one expected the underdog to win. So, Lokesh, what do you think of yesterday's match and how players fared yesterday?
Well, actually, me being a United supporter myself, I braced myself for the loss. I did give a chance to Villarreal to win based on the form currently. And so, to that, because, you know, I had that expectation, it was not really a shock for me to see United say lose. I would say they actually saved face by losing in the penalties. They could have lost in the 90 minutes. They could have lost in the extra time or extra minutes that they got as well. So it was bad drama, I would say. It was, the Europa League final did not live up to its expectations from United's point of view. They did not play well. They did not show up. It was a very inconsistent performance. I would say half the team, showed up, but then the other half the team were not there, and that cost United the game.
No, one thing I like to say is United have always struggled against a low block. Under Solskjaer, they've always struggled against a low block. And once you just, you know, put a CDM on Fernandes, there's no creativity at all. So I mean, it's not a, you know, big revelation to see that Solskjaer failed in finals with it's a simple low block tactic, and you have to credit Unai Emery for, you know, winning another final. He is it's his competition. I mean, how Zidane's competition is UCL, so it's his competition. You should just name it Unai Emery's competition and just put any team that Unai Emery is there. I mean, you have to credit him. Being seventh in the league, they were going to play UEFA Conference League and they're going to play Champions League. I mean, that's actually a very good thing, achievement for Villarreal.
That's a good point. So, what do you think? Which players played well yesterday? Who played good and who played bad from United's perspective?
Yeah, so
I think the whole team played bad.
Go on, Aditya.
I mean, I watching the match, Bruno did not come up. I mean, yeah, Cavani scored a goal, but that's, I mean, it was a poacher's goal. He's the right place at the right time goal. That is one thing I like about Cavani. Other than that, Rashford, I don't know. I mean, he was doing the same thing again and again. You know that you are not able to, you know, take on the defender, maybe do something else, go on the other side of the wing. No, he is doing the same thing again and again. Pogba misplacing passes again and again, showboating in the midfield. Even Shaw was not that good. And the whole team, it was a disastrous performance.
So, let me just pitch in here. I like to back it up a bit, back up the question a bit. I was just following United for the past 2-3 days intensively because of this cup final. So, I noticed two things. So, one, the players are far too confident for my liking. I've seen the press conferences, I've seen the training sessions. It was not concentrating for me to see them. You know, they were, I would not say they were taking it leniently, but it was definitely an idea of, yo, we got this kind of a situation. So it's like, I feel they underestimated Villarreal a bit. And this goes into the preparation part of the analysis of mine. So I feel that they have not prepared intensively for, they don't have the proper concentration for the final. They approach it far too easily. And I can back that statement up with the press conferences. You know, Luke Shaw, Bruno Fernandes press conferences were far too funny for my liking. You're playing a final, you're supposed to be serious and you're supposed to be goal-oriented. But I did not see that. Yeah, definitely. There were statements like, this club is all about winning trophies. Yeah, we get that. You know, I can talk about that. But that being said, I couldn't see any of the tactical prowess that Bruno Fernandes brought to the pitch. And even the press conferences, Ole was far too easy on the players. You know, like we've this is supposed to be the beginning of something. No, I don't think so. You have to take it more seriously than that. So that is one part of my analysis. The second part is, I just want to talk about the match here for a minute, because I feel that United team has every player who are better than the Villarreal team. So like Lokesh said, or like Aditya said, I didn't give Villarreal an ounce of chance also. I definitely expected United to win it. Now, if you don't catch City, that's a shocker. I mean, that's not a shocker, because, well, you don't have the squad to catch City in the Premier League. But you have the squad to beat Villarreal. Why should I give Villarreal a chance? As Aditya just said, Unai Emery does very well in the Europa League, which is right. But you're up against the Manchester United team who's on the up, right? We're supposed to believe that this is a process. You know, Ole has got it. Ole has got the winning gene. But, you know, right from the final, which is yesterday, I've just comprehended a lot of reasons in my mind as to why a defeat could make sense, you know. All of these players, Pogba is a World Cup winner. Bruno Fernandes is a very talented player. Edinson Cavani, for God's sake, is such a big player. And by big player, I mean a big game player. These people are supposed to take this game by the scruff of its neck and just pull it out and just go for the win. But I just couldn't understand why that particular thing would happen. Because I wanted to say, you know, no, these players are playing the final after a long time. Then my mind immediately goes to the point that Villarreal are playing the final in their first time in their history. So what am I really talking about here? So that point doesn't make sense. But then again, but you get what I mean. I can just go on and on about the pitch, but I would like to take others' input also. Lokesh, what do you think of that? The players taking it too lightly and all. I want to hear your opinion on that.
The players taking it too lightly. Yes. Well, that's a mixed feel, I would say. Since I'm following them for quite a long time, it doesn't seem like they, like, you know, it's a very mixed feel that you get out of them. They always keep telling that, you know, we are looking to do good. We are looking to improve. We want to win. We want to improve on this thing. But then when it comes to the performances on the field, they let themselves down, They let themselves down when it matters. Those crunch matches that, you know, you have to win to get to the next stage, or you have to win these 3 points to keep the pressure on, the leaders. You have to win this to go to the next stage. No? Those games, they falter. So, I don't know if it's to put it down, to put the fault, you know, on the players, or to put the fault on Ole, because he's not able to instill that belief in them. Because, you know, he's also always, you've been telling that it's a process. We have to learn. People have to get stronger. But where are they getting? Are they really getting stronger during the course of the season? He's been using that sentence
I mean, do you see it? Do you see the progress here?
Not really now. After, expecting them to lose yesterday and looking at their performance, it doesn't seem so that they're progressing from my opinion. It's just they're okay with, average performances. And if they come away with a win, it's good. They all be like, you know, okay, we are going ahead. But then every now and then they slip up and it's the same.
So you talk about the performance. So we performed quite well throughout the season, I feel, particularly in the Premier League. I mean, not against the top six opponents. I cannot back my statement up with that statistic. But on a scale where you can compare the whole season, I feel the performance was there. Bruno stepped up big time. Rashford was there. He was pitching in with goals. And yeah, the performance was there. But how could it just swap for a single final match? I mean, I just couldn't understand that. I mean, you just said the performances were bad, but I don't find it so bad for the whole season.
Okay, I have a point here.
Talking about the mentality, Lokesh, 1 minute.
Okay, yeah, go.
So what I felt was the Premier League was wrapped up by match day 35, and United didn't really have any competitions to play in other than Europa League final, which is supposed to take place 2-3 weeks after. So do you think that lack of competitiveness in matches they played before, prior to the Europa League final, did it take a toll on them, you know, preparing mentally for this match?
I don't think so. I don't know what Lokesh feels about it, but I don't think so, because even on match day 36, we were the top four was not assured to us, or maybe the top two was not assured to us. United wanted to finish second, that's for sure. They don't want third. I can feel that. I watched the press conferences, I watched the squad, I watched the manager talking about it. They would not be happy fighting, sitting in third. So I think the competitiveness was there. I can't agree with that. Lokesh and Aditya?
Yeah, my point being that, you know, if you
but
see
one
the
more
season,
thing is continuity of the, you know, team playing again and again. See, if you see Pep Guardiola, he played against Everton, he played his full match squad. Okay, albeit it was his last match, it was Aguero's last match, so he maybe wanted to do that. But if you play one game before finals, you play with the whole squad, then you have, you know, a set of a continuity. You can say that, yeah, we have warmed up. Doing training session is different, and playing a full match is different. So I think he should have played a full match, you know, the complete squad in the last match of the season.
And yeah, but then again, the match was 2 days after, right? So that doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah, but still, I mean, you lose a bit of continuity, right?
Yeah, that's a good point by Aditya, actually, you know. Coming back to what I was telling, throughout the season, if you see, the reason I'm telling United have not been very consistent is, you look at their home record. They've lost about 7-8 matches. They've conceded the most number of goals at home. Most of their points have come away from home. And that too by trailing. I don't know what to make of that record as well. Like, you know, they are the comeback champions. But it just shows that they're easy to attack against. And that, you know, teams can get points off United. It's just that United, somehow, they managed to come back in those games and win and get about, you know, 30 points, I guess. 30, 33 points is what they've gotten away from home when they're trailing. So if you see, that's the point that I'm stressing on. That's why I feel they've been inconsistent. Second point being, the other teams have all, you know, not had a good season. The ones who should be challenging for second, third, fourth, like, you know, Liverpool, have had so many injuries.
That is a very good point. So I just wanted to, before we move on to the next point, I just wanted to ask, do you think United finished second only because the other teams had a bad season?
Yeah, definitely. Very much so. As I was telling again, let me complete my point. You know, if United had injuries as the scale of Liverpool had, don't know where they would have been in the league. They could have easily been 7th or 8th. Okay. Now, second, talk about Chelsea. They were in there. They had a very bad season with Frank. Tottenham were bad with Jose Mourinho. They couldn't sustain. Leicester, again, fell off towards the end. So, none of them have been very good and consistent. And that is why United somehow managed to, you know, get the points required and they finished second. If not, it's been an inconsistent season for all the stats or records that they can show, right? All those don't mean as much because we all seen the matches. The performances have been very inconsistent. And as Aditya told... As Aditya told, the point of continuity... That was a very good point because, you know, when United had that refixture of games with Liverpool, Leicester and all, of course, he had to rotate, which he did very well. Okay. But the thing was, he had to rotate the squad for the last game, as Aditya mentioned. No, you had to have your full team play the last match and then carry that momentum with you. But he didn't do that. He played a strong squad against Fulham. The one before to the Wolves game. He played a strong side against Fulham and they played very inconsistently that day. And that was very alarming for me. You know, that team should not be drawing to Fulham in that manner that they did. But somehow they ended up doing that way. And then he played Wolves with an entirely changed team. So there's no continuity again. There's no match. There's no momentum to carry forward. And that cost United the trophy also, I would say.
Oh, one thing I have to say that, see, everybody on Twitter, even Solskjaer, they say we are 3-4 players away from, you know, champions, this and what about coaching? I mean, you look at United this season and even last season, they are abysmal in defending set pieces. I mean, the amount of goals the other teams have scored from corners, free kicks, No, I mean, it is just too much. I mean, United never score goals. I mean, very rarely they score goals, you know, on corners. They have players like Harry Maguire and Paul, who are, you know, even Cavani, who are very tall and they're good at scoring headers. But yet they don't do. And even we say you need better players, but what about coaching? You need better coaching, right? What about you have Kieran McKenna and Michael Carrick. Yeah, they were good players or good coaches in under-21s, but I don't know if they would get into, let's say Man City, would Pep Guardiola come and say, Michael Carrick, you come, I want you in my coaching staff, Kieran McKenna, I want you in my coaching staff. I don't think so. Yeah, so you no need chance. Better coaches too if you want to win and be tactically good at the same time.
So just because... So
talking about coaching, guys, I have an important point. So do you think Ole's yesterday substitution tactics didn't work? Because he didn't use any outfield... He didn't replace any of the outfield players in the first 90 minutes. I mean, see, if you want to finish the match, you really have to keep the fresh legs in. So do you think Ole is prepared for an extra time? I mean, that eventually resulted in them losing.
Yes, he did. Like, you know, it was very evident at the 70th minute that, you know, he does not know who to take out and he did not want to take anyone out. It was very clear he played for extra time, and that itself was a worrying thing. It was not a very good intent. He himself does not have belief that, you know, they can finish the match in 90 minutes, that too against a team like Villarreal. And he didn't have any belief on the bench. He could have, why can't he get on Dan James or Van de Beek or Matic or Mata? He just does not believe any of them to do what he expects, it seems like. And you know that...
No, shows... if he doesn't expect Matic or Mata to do the job, that's fine by me. I mean, I don't expect them to do it either. But why is Van de Beek kept in the cold here? I just don't get that part of man management in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, really. The way Van de Beek has been treated this season, it's a disastrous campaign for him and for his career in retrospective.
True. Very true. I just feel sad for Van de Beek.
He's lucky to be selected for Netherlands squad.
Yeah, that's what. He's a good player, man. But it's just United setup. The entire and the players around are not playing that way. And sadly, Van de Beek has been the victim of this unfortunate situation, you could say. Look at the way the United team is set up to play. They don't play that 1-2 quick passes and move out from midfield. They can't do that. They're so slow. It goes from, say, Fred to McTominay, McTominay to Pogba, Pogba to Shaw. Shaw tries something. If not, it comes back to them and then goes all the way to Wan-Bissaka. It's so slow.
This particular period of play I've seen throughout the season. So do you think like Fred and McTominay are responsible for this, or like what exactly is causing this? Or maybe we're using two players as a CDM position. What is happening here?
I mean, I don't think as players it's their fault. I mean, you have known all season that they are not good at passing, and yet Ole tries to use them again and again and again. How is it there? I mean, like, is the manager who and the coaching staff who are picking those players, right? You know that he's not good at something. Play one. Why play two people? The reason is because of the defenders. He has to do that. He has to protect them. They know that those two players who are our center backs are not fast enough, so they play two CDM, which causes Van de Beek to not play because they are not good at passing. It's a cycle.
Yeah,
so I have one more question regarding the Ole's weird substitution yesterday. I mean, considering De Gea's penalty saving percentage recently, he really didn't save any of them in recent years. So why did he take a gamble of, you know, keeping him on the pitch with the risk of penalty shoot is there in just 30 minutes?
Ago? This particular point, I feel, is completely on Ole. The management here has gone absolutely berserk, because I don't know why Henderson didn't come on. And Henderson has a better penalty saving record than De Gea. And for one reason, I'm a De Gea fan myself. I like him a lot. But he doesn't save penalties. I have not seen him save penalties for a long time. And the statistic backs it up. So I don't understand why Ole has not put Henderson there. He has trusted De Gea and he's made a mistake. Yet again, the man management part
but
of him is fine. But...
Dean Henderson has never played a final. He has never played a final and been a penalty shooter. I mean, the amount of pressure it requires to, you know, be in a final and then in a penalty shootout, which if he fails, it's like, yeah, my place is gone. I mean,
Aditya, the amount of pressure. I'm wrong. Same thing. De Gea never played any final. I mean, the last Europa League final, Romero started.
Nice.
Other than that, he really never had a proper experience in finals. I guess.
No. Just because no, I just want to answer to. Yeah. So I just want to answer to Aditya. The first two penalties Villarreal took. I just want to talk about them. Because after seeing those first two penalties, you just knew that, yeah, De Gea is not going to save one of them. Because I can understand, he did not even attempt to save it. He did not even, you know, stretch his arms out. There was no effort whatsoever. I mean, I think Lokesh can back me up also here. De Gea, absolutely abysmal in penalties. The first two were, oh my God, I just couldn't watch it. I mean, yeah, I've seen people like Van der Sar, Casillas, big goalkeepers playing penalties. But then the lack of effort for De Gea is just astonishing, man. I just can't imagine how he didn't even effort to save it.
The point that I would like to answer the question that, you know, Nihar made, like why he did not substitute De Gea off. See, Ole had two substitutions left at 120 minutes, okay? At 120 plus 3 minutes, he had two substitutions left. He bought on Alex Telles and Juan Mata, who were definitely going to take the penalties. So it's a gamble. You either keep Scott McTominay on and he misses the penalty, or you put in a player who has more chance of scoring a penalty. So he took a gamble. He took a chance. He said, okay, I'll
gamble. Right.
It is a proper gamble. I mean, what Scott McTominay, it's not sure that Scott McTominay will score a penalty. Alex Telles and Juan Mata, they are good at, you know, set pieces and penalty takers. They are good penalty takers. So it's you have to choose. I would rather have somebody who scores a goal than somebody who saves a goal.
So you're saying that a probability of 2/5 is better than 5/5. I mean, Henderson can actually save 5 penalties and stop some of them.
I mean, it's a speculation. We don't know Henderson would have saved all penalties or saved one penalty. You just can't say that Henderson.
Yeah, I know.
It's
we
a
don't
speculation.
Know that, but I'm saying he will at least attempt to save. That's what I'm backing.
See, I'll tell you one more thing. A statistic. I mean, I have read it from a pronounced psychiatrist. The report. I mean, not exactly a report. A statement. When Bruno won the toss and let Villarreal take the second chance to score penalties, United has 60% chance of winning the penalty, no matter the result. I mean, it doesn't matter the ability of the player. United has a higher rate. Because they always kept Villarreal under pressure. If they miss, they're out. Because always United had the first chance to score, so they are safe. Even if they miss the penalty, they have a chance to save it and get back into the game back side then. But Villarreal, always, from fifth penalty, Villarreal was always under the knife. Like, they have to score because United scored till 11th, 10th player. So if Villarreal didn't score, they're out. And they face four eliminations, the final punches, and they survived the last one. So I really think De Gea should have been replaced. My personal opinion. So, what do you think exactly on this?
Coming to the goalkeeper situation, okay, it's not more of. I would say that he should have changed. Even I'm of the opinion here. Like, you know, he should have gone for Dean Henderson, considering he has a better penalty save record over the past few seasons. Now, talking in terms of pressure, whether he's played a final or not, I don't think that really matters so much. It was in the final here. It was more of giving Dean Henderson a chance for his skills. So it was more of, you know, letting him have that. If he lost it, they lost it anyways. But we would at least tell that, you know, Ole tried doing something based on data. And that's my second point. It's based on data. So every club are, you know, using analytics now. Even in terms of penalty shootout, they see which way the person goes, who's taking a shot, which is his weaker foot, stronger foot, where do they play. You have all these kind of data that is available to you. Now, if you use this, of course, you will back Dean Henderson, right? And if he had done it, it will show that, you know, he's at least having courage to make some changes based on data, based on analytics, based on a call, whatever. So I believe he made a mistake that, you know, it doesn't seem like the club use any of these aspects like data analytics.
if penalty is a 50-50, John, you cannot predict that, yeah, every time a player will go this side, every time a player will go that side. I mean, that doesn't how penalty works, right? A goalkeeper, you know, going with gut, going with left or right.
Yeah, we never know how a penalty shootout can go. It all comes down to the moment for every kick. I agree to that.
Using the analytics is different. Applying it onto the game is different, right? They obviously would use, because United are a very rich club and everything is perfect for on-ball club. But if really Ole would have used the analytics, he would have really knew that, see, they didn't save a penalty in 3 years, as far as I know. More than that, maybe. So you really can't back a guy who didn't really save a penalty in 3 years to, you know, help you in a final, the penalty shootout, with your backup future goalkeeper in, you know, on bench. But at least when he had the substitutions to make at the end of 120 minutes.
No, he was very casual in even saving the spot kick. That's what, yeah, I'm saying. You're talking about kicking the spot kick. Forget about that. He was extremely casual and even saving it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, true, right? You remember, he dived to the right direction, I think 3-4 times, but still he didn't make any save. I mean, the ball
the
went
first
into
2-3
the next
attempts
save.
Was bad, I think. After that, he started concentrating and looking at the ball and the player a little bit. But the first 2-3
exactly.
Shots also, he was
quite
off.
The first 2-3 were like, yeah, the first 2-3, man, I was shocked. I was shocked by this guy's effort. He didn't even move. I was like, man, Dean Henderson would at least give me an effort. At least a chance. I don't know. I mean, if I look at this game, most of these mistakes
the next
are,
topic,
you know.
Talking a lot about
the goalkeeping discussion, heated one. So we'll talk about Ole now. What's the future for him? This season they came very near, and domestically they are good in Premier League. Not like they had an assured campaign, being in top four almost all half most of the time, and they were assured of a CL finish from like match 32, I guess. I mean, they were almost getting into it. I think they improved. I mean, if you see the standings wise or the cup finals or the cup participation wise. But where do you see Ole now? I mean, do you really think he has a future with this club? It's been already 3 campaigns, right? I mean, three seasons he overseen a club. So what do you think of this? I mean, do you think they should stick with him or replace him with someone?
I mean, he hasn't done 3 complete full seasons, right? I think so. It's 2 seasons
two?
And
yeah,
two and a half after
half
Jose
half
Mourinho after was started, right? It was 2.5 seasons.
Yeah, he took over in
Aditya, what
Jan.
Do you think?
I mean, it's a mix. I have a mixed feeling. See, I would say keep Ole in because his management tactics are good. I mean team management, like his ability to, you know.
You mean man management?
Man management tactics. I mean that's good. And I mean even the signings he's making, I think they're good signings compared to the previous managers. I mean, Glazers are, you know, give him a good sign, good, you know, good players, the good money to buy good players. I think that would be a good thing. But
so you're
the
on the
time,
fence on regarding Ole.
Yeah, but at the same time, I would like to say is he needs better coaches around him, and I mean he also needs a different style of play. He always has, you know, this one style of play where he focuses on individual ability than, you know, team tactics. It's a Bruno, you know, they wait for Bruno to score. They wait for Cavani to score. It's not a team. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a team play, like how Man City, you know, play. It feels like a team play. Liverpool, it feels like a team play. With United, it's more for, you know, individual ability performance thing. They need to improve on that aspect.
Okay.
Lucas, Ole in or Ole out?
I would say out, bro. He should be sacked. Because there's this talk of progress a lot that we keep hearing or measuring his term by. But the progress has been very minimal, I feel, and it's been very slow. Because in terms of what the team, the players that they have, they can be playing much better in the first place. Second, as Aditya mentioned, Ole does not have that, identity. It's more of, you know, he hopes that some player is able to have some magic and they're able to score and, you know, that will win them the game. That's what his hope is.
Well,
it's
Lokesh,
not like, you know, this
I,
how
I would,
we will...
I would like to ask you a question there.
Yeah.
What do you think, just as I made a point, right, if he has better, what do you think if, like, let's say some good, I mean, good experienced coaches with identity. If he brings in some good coaches, do you think, I mean, then Ole can stay in? What do you think?
No, then what do you need Ole there for? Then it's more like he's a PR agent over there, to talk to others.
I mean, if you look at Alex Ferguson, he relied on his coaches, right? His main focus was man management. He would tweak only like 2-3 things, but at the end of the day, his coaches would, I mean, his whole thing was man management.
Yeah, coming to that, see, Ole has himself admitted that, you know, he doesn't manage coaching or say, you know, coaching all the defensive pieces, midfield pieces. He doesn't coach the team really. He leaves that to the coaching team. And yes, the coaching team needs to be better. All the people who are there, like Michael Carrick, or say this David Murto, and then who else? I think Fletcher is there.
Kieran McKenna, Mike Phelan.
Correct. All of them are not good enough. Again, they're all just ex-United players who have just found themselves in the club again after their playing time. They're not really relevant. I would say they don't have a relevant experience to be getting the job done at the highest level. So, yeah, they do need a better coaching staff. Like, you know, specialized coaching staff is required. And as you mentioned, Ole is just a man manager. Now, why are we pleasing so many players? What are we getting in the end of the day? By pleasing Pogba to be on the field, but he's not taking out Rashford, no matter what, he's injured, is what we keep hearing. But then we are watching him play about 120 minutes. And he's playing bad, but he's still not able to take him off. What is the point of pleasing people? You need to be ruthless with people. You need to have that discipline, like what Tuchel does, or like what Pep Guardiola does. No matter how well you have played, if you're tired and if I need to change things, I will take De Bruyne out. I will take Aguero out. I will take Sterling out. It doesn't matter who you are. I will take you out and replace you with a person that I feel will do better now. That kind of attitude needs to be there. There's no point in pleasing everyone.
That's well put. And one more question about this entire thing. Did United miss Harry Maguire yesterday because they didn't keep a clean sheet since he was injured?
No. Don't come to that. Villarreal's captain, I think, was on the bench. Their preferred number one keeper was on the bench. Unai Emre, he backed his second goalkeeper because he played him in the tournament, you know. So, he gave him the final. And
well, 14,
you cannot get it down to Harry not being there as such. No.
No, I'm just asking. I just want to know from your perspective.
No, not really. United cannot be complaining or telling that, you know, because Harry was not there, we lost. It just shows how bad...
I mean, Harry Maguire does have an effect, but completely saying that, if we had Harry, would have won it. I mean, that's just...
Yes, so, he doesn't most impact on the team's defense and everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fine thing because not everyone can do that. It's really... fine. And one more last topic on the entire issue. So how do you think the transfer targets will be affected in case of Ole sacked or seeing the dismal performance of the club yesterday? I mean, do you think a big player will pull in? Because we recently saw how Dybala pulled out because he really don't want to play in Europe or something, statements like that. But right now, it's the uncertain situation of the club, key players and their manager. So, do you really think the transfer targets might turn their back now who were ready to come to United?
I mean, they should come because, I mean, you are again in the Champions League finals. Next season, they are in the Champions League. They are not playing Europa League or Europa Conference League. So, I mean, yeah, they lost a finals. Yes. If you look at it, the team is playing whole round. If you look at the season, they were good enough. They were not perfect, but they were okay. See, you can pitch in a certain way saying that we were okay this season, but if you come to our club, we can be great. And still, the club is Manchester United. It is one of the biggest clubs in England.
I mean, see, no. That I won't agree with you because, see, for example, no player wants to go to a club which is just entered into a crisis mode will take 1 or 2 years to rebuild. Really, no player will want to...
I don't think so. United is in a crisis mode like other clubs.
No, I'm saying, for example, if Ole gets sacked, the things are back to square one again.
Not
things will be uncertain. It is, because it happened all the time recently. Whenever the manager gets the sack, it was like things are back to square one.
Actually, the club is in a mess right now. We can't deny it. And it's not only the team, it's not only the manager, it's not only the coaching staff, it's also the board, it's also the owners. So right from top to bottom, you know, there's nothing right in the club, I feel. And why will a Kane come here? Kane will definitely go to Manchester City. He's like, I'm not going to play under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer like this with that team. Kane might feel like, you know, it's just an upgraded Tottenham team. Why will I go to United? Why will Sancho come to United?
Interesting point. Yeah, why would Kane come to United if, you know, their top scorer is a midfielder this season? And that speaks of something. Bruno is the top scorer, right, for United in all competitions this season. And top assist provider too, I guess.
But again, if you see...
That is something, right?
Again, if you see the reliance on the United team right now, no, if you take out Harry Maguire, they can't stop conceding goals. You take out Bruno Fernandes, they can't score goals. So it's so heavily, if it is so heavily reliant on two people, there is no backbone to the team. There is no structure to the team. And if this team that United have cannot beat a Villarreal team in the final, and they're telling them, we want Kane, we want Sancho, we want Varane, we want Rice, then we'll be better. What does that make? It's like, you know, you're just... It seems more like how City and Chelsea were in the early 2010s or 2000s, wherein they were like, you know, oh, we'll go get this guy, we'll get this guy, we'll get this star, then we will win. United seem like that now.
Well, my personal opinion, Ole should stay for one more year at least, because he deserves that in a way. So only based on his team performance, I mean, the position and the standings and the results in final club cup competition. But I guess one more year if he stays, I think they can really pull a big signing this summer. But yeah, let's see after 1 year if he really fails to win a trophy. I think it's time for him to go then. So yeah, so Lokesh and Aditya, we spoke a lot. So let's leave it to Advait for the final notes. So Advait, what do you think overall? What should you do? I mean, is the club going in the right direction or not?
So that's what I was just saying. I was just listening to the conversations here. I don't think Ole will get sacked. So that's for sure. The club do believe in him. Not now. But if you would ask me on where I stand with Ole, now, I'm not on the fence like Aditya and not Ole out like Lokesh here. But I think I'm Ole in. But I have very less ground on my side here. Start of the next season, 6 games in. And if we have 3 wins and 3 losses, yeah, he's out. That is my take on this. It's as simple as that. You've got to start the next season very sharp. You know, you will have a preseason. You'll have everything what you need. Start the next season, 6 games, 5 wins, 1 draw. Something like that. You have to give it a good start. After that, yeah, we'll just see where Ole goes and Ole takes us. But if the start is not good, he's out. That is my take on that. And one more thing I would like to... Yeah, go ahead.
But then if you see this season also, they had a bad start without a preseason and he still ended up second, which he... you know, gloats about. But so, if they have the start that you're telling, or say if they have a bad start, and then you have to look for a manager who would not be there, then again change in things. Your preseason goes for a waste. Then what happens?
Yeah, so I would like to answer that in one way. That is particularly where we trust the manager, and I would say where I believe in the process. So I know I'm way too out of the line saying the process word again, but I believe in him. I don't know why people won't, because of... I mean, I can see why people won't. As you said, the points tally is low because other teams are not playing well. That is factually correct. But I feel one more season, third full season, and if you still don't give us the results, you're out. So that is my take on that.
So basically, if we have to stick with him, it's better we stick with him for another season and not...
More season. Exactly.
Yeah, we can't sack him midway through, because that will be a waste.
And I was just listening to this video of Sir Alex Ferguson speaking in 2015 to one of the ESPN pundits. And he was saying the stability of the club is so important in establishing a long-term vision. So I think as you guys just spoke, sacking Ole will put us back to square one. It's a new project again. It's a new vision again. So we can't afford to have that. We have come a little bit far with Ole. We'll give him the third full season. And if there is no significant progress in terms of Premier League or in terms of at least win the Carabao or get a good run in the Champions League, if all of these things are not there, then it's better to be back to square one. But I would not take the decision of sacking Ole right now because that seems a little bit hasty. Third full season and then we can evaluate proper. One trophy, top four and good run in the Champions League. These three I would recommend for him to get.
Say either Carabao Cup or FA Cup. Top
I'd
four.
I'd be happy with that. Top four and a good run. Like
quarters or semis.
Like Champions League, quarters or semis. Now if it is an easy opponent, then semis. If it is like you meet Barca or Real Madrid in this quarters, then quarters is fine for me.
Quarters.
That is where I am right now with Ole.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I actually like the point you just said, like 5 minutes back, you just said ki, if you don't like a position, you can just buy Rice. Or if you don't find, you can just buy Sancho. No, this is not United. This is not United at all. We build our players. The youth system is there for a reason. We have this incredible statistic of playing the youth players for every home game for like 40 or 50 years now. That is a fantastic statistic to have. But why would you have that statistic if you're just buying players for the positions? I don't understand that. So that point you said was absolutely right. Buying is not the option. But I think Aditya was talking about coaching here, and I just would like to say one point on coaching. If Marcus Rashford's ability is given to a player like Pep, he would be in contention for PFL Player of the Year or something. I just can't understand why Rashford is having an off-season or off game in a final. What is really happening in the background? Why is Ole not using the potential that is Marcus Rashford? I just can't understand that. So that is beyond me. If a Pep would have... Pep made Mahrez special. Pep made Sterling special. Now he's making Foden special. And also Ferran Torres is also a fantastic player. So why is Rashford not reaching that spike? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I believe the reason is because Pep is very... tactically inept. You know, he just knows how this position and that player should play. Technical ability, your positioning, your movement from with the ball, off the ball. So Pep, he knows all these aspects and that's what he gets out of players. You know, that's how he gets the best out of players. Because he tells them or he shows them a different view of playing it. Ole is not tactically inept. Ole is more of that, you know, he'll put his arm around your shoulder and he'll give you that confidence. He's that kind of a man manager. He's like, you know, I believe in you. Go out there and do it. And that is, but he does not really show Rashford that, you know, you need to be here at this time. You need to run in like this. You need to cut in here.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that. That's why you see even Pogba showboating so much. If it was Pep,
do you think
Pep will probably take Pogba off. But Ole will never take Pogba off unless he's injured or he's tired.
Right. So I was just asking, do you think Klopp does that? Put your arm around the shoulder?
Klopp does.
So why is
Klopp actually very... Yes, if you have seen, you know, he goes and gives high five to all his players after every match, actually.
Yeah.
He goes to the fans, he does it. Klopp is more rounded, you know, he is very good tactically. He knows how his system needs to be played and by whom. And he goes and talks to everyone. He's a very good human as well, you know, who builds that relationship with everyone.
Okay, guys, I had to conclude here, but that's lots of United stuff. I really don't think United board meetings will go on this depth. But I'm really happy all of us spoke in depth. At least you three. So, yeah. So, that's it, guys, for this episode. Please tune in and share and subscribe. Thank you.